Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I think we have to, while there's still time before 2025, which apparently is actually going to be a year, to figure one or two things out. One being, let's agree on the definition of a bad beat. Some of you will be familiar with Scott Van Pelt. I think maybe the best thing he does is that bad beat segment that I hear about or see online the next day from ESPN, where, you know, random games, three or four games from different sports. You have Team X plus 16.5 in college basketball or something. And then, you know, they're even ahead in the game, but it's an easy cover, and then just get stupid at the end and they end up losing. Things like that. That's a bad beat. In fantasy football, it would be if you needed, I don't know, I don't have a specific example of a player. Let's take James Conner maybe from the weekend, or even some better would be somebody that wasn't already hurt and you need like 4 points to win and the guy gets hurt before he gets there, like he has 3 points, then he's out for the game, especially if maybe it's more because the team doesn't need the game, they're protecting the player rather than, you know, like ambulance, carted off, you know, something not as obvious. That's especially bad. Team just taking it easy there. That's a bad beat. If you lose by 0.2 just because it was close, that's a tough loss. That's a close game. That's not necessarily a bad beat. Bad beat has to bring with it something else. It has to bring with it something that just you can't believe that you even bother living, playing, but living. That's a bad beat. It's only to say, not every close loss is a bad beat. A guy who pulled off a pretty close win, although I'm not sure how much it meant to him, is our friend Jeremy White here from WGR, who, I don't know, this is going to sound snarky, but his is the team named the Snarks. Congrats on third.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, we're going to learn from it. We're going to learn from it, Mike. You know, every loss is an opportunity to learn. I actually had conceded the game to Lou, who's in our league, last night, because I'd seen Amon-Ra St. Brown go off. A little bit. So he said, "You're not out of it yet." And then I went and checked, and I was up by 0.2, and I held on for a 0.2 victory. So
yes,
I was happy to do so. I was really in the dumps on, you know, you want to talk about bad beats. I had two third place games last night. In one of them, I was playing against Amon-Ra St. Brown. In the other, I had Amon-Ra St. Brown. And for a very brief period, it looked like I was going to lose them both. Like he was going to hit the exact sweet spot. So I lost both of them. But I did win by 0.2, so I'm happy about that for third place.
I was in a final that I had almost, or basically, yes, given up on because I needed, I think it was 41 from Brock Purdy, and then he was going to get it. Like, all I needed was the garbage time touchdown that Dobbs ran in. He was at 38 before that injury. So is that a bad beat? No, because it was not reasonable to expect Brock Purdy to score 41 points. But I did feel like I was going to pull it off.
We had somebody call in this morning. His league still had kickers, and he lost the championship by less than a point because the Lions kicker missed an extra point.
Oh, well,
that's a tough
one. That's pretty bad.
That's pretty tough.
I mean, it's not like the old days where extra points were closer to automatic, but it's still not great. you know, these best ball tournaments that I play in, you might do a couple of these. I have friends who, so once you get to, I had one with Bulldog that was like this. Once you advance to the fantasy playoff weeks, week 15 for starters, your scores reset. So no matter how, hopefully for you, if you dominated, you got a regular season prize. But, you know, maybe you didn't. Anyway, you get to week 15 and then you go back to zero. And if you lose there, like that kind of sucks because you might have had, I mean, Chris and I had a team that was, I think, 14th overall out of 16,000. And we won, we split $100 three ways. Ultimately, because we finished third out of 12 in week 15 when you needed top two. Bad beat? Not exactly. But I have friends, I was going to say, who go look up the teams that they lost the weeks before to see how they would have done in week 17. And that's flat out masochism. I mean, you just, I would spare yourself that agony.
Sure. I didn't exactly have, it's, you know, we can all decide the level of bad beat. You know, should you have expected? Is it just bad luck versus a bad beat? Bad luck is not exactly as bad. I would contest that Chuba Hubbard going off for 35 points against me in my game with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that stung. And in concert with Trey McBride having his lowest scoring game of his life, maybe. I mean, you know, we had some tough times.
I ran so pure in that league.
Yes, you did.
I mean, Hubbard against you, and then
Neighbors in the championship.
Well, at least Neighbors is Neighbors. How about sure. Olamide Zaccheaus for 25?
Yes.
You know, I started Zaccheaus over Parker Washington because what else would I mean? I don't know. Worked out against Joe's McLaurin, 1 for 5. But I didn't bring you on to just sort of bury you in fantasy stuff. Tuesday, it's still Tuesday, even if it is New Year's Eve. It's time for the reverse AFC power rankings powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit empireelectricians.com. Appreciate Jeremy, like Joe, last week working a double, sitting in here with me for a few minutes in Bulldog's absence. New page today. I'll be curious for your analysis, like what's worst here? You know, you've got mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 AFC teams on either 3 or 4 wins. And you could rank these a lot of different ways. Who for you is team number 16?
Well, right, because there's a level of, especially at the end of the season, I don't know how much you guys generally factor this in. It's almost like we're doing a dynasty ranking on some level. Because I'm inclined to say, like, the Raiders, what do the Raiders even have going on for them? But they have 4 wins, and there's some teams with 3 wins. Tennessee is doing something unprecedented this week where they're playing both of their quarterbacks. Like, you know, if you have 2 quarterbacks, you have none. They don't even have the young guy to play. They're just going to play the 2 guys on the roster for, I don't know, just for fun. So I'm kind of inclined to say Tennessee. I don't really know what they've got going on that is good for them. The quarterback situation isn't good. The weapons situation is, it's okay. They spent a lot of money on Calvin Ridley. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, like I don't know. I'm kind of on Tennessee being pretty far down here because what do they got going on for them?
You know what else is maybe not good this year? The draft itself. Finding your next quarterback.
Yeah, I've seen that. Like Drake May, who the Patriots, if they have the first pick, they're in good shape because Drake May would be the number one quarterback in this draft quite easily. And, in fact, like 4 or 5 of last year's quarterbacks would have been number one in this draft. So
maybe
they would easily get out of that one spot with a trade. And the existence of May makes me want to put them ahead of a couple of these other teams. So that's why I'm leaning on Tennessee.
You kind of said it already at the beginning. You get this late in the year, being bad is a little bit good. You know, you'd rather be 3 or 4 wins than a team like the Saints or somebody with 5. Because the difference in the draft position is so stark, you and I don't need to have that conversation. But one other thing about a lot of these teams in the AFC at the bottom of the standings is they all have coaching issues. And maybe Tennessee's included in that. Somehow Doug Peterson lasted the year. But Raiders, Patriots with newer coaches, there are questions. Jets are going to have somebody else. The one team that probably has their guy is Cleveland in this bunch with Stefanski. I mean, 2-time coach of the year anyway. I will go Raiders here. Zach?
I'm on Raiders too, kind of the dynasty idea. I don't think them winning this late in the year is any good for them.
I like this pick. I mentioned the Raiders off the bat, but I didn't want to overstep here as the guest. I think Raiders is a good answer, even though they have more wins than these three-win teams.
The Raiders have a cachet. It's kind of twisted now, sort of gnarly, but that the Titans will never have, or most of these teams. You know, where you can get, say, Aaron Rodgers, make a move like that. Maybe he wants to play for you. Can you imagine him wanting to play for Tennessee at this point, or someone of the sort? All right, Raiders at 16, 15. Jeremy's on the Titans. That's the rule. I'm fine with that. I mean, it is New Year's Eve. I don't want to spend my whole life parsing the Raiders and the Titans. We have better teams to talk about. 14. Jets.
Yeah, Jets.
What do they do? And who decides?
Where does Garrett Wilson factor in that? How about that Sauce Gardner story about with T. Higgins? Did you see that Instagram post?
No. Okay. I almost always say no to that question.
Fair. I mean, I'm not one that sees them on Instagram. It's like one of the aggregators would send it out. I'm. It's one of those ones where you see it and you think that's got to be fake. But I think it's not fake. I don't know. I should do some more research here. But for the purposes, I'll tell you what it said.
Basically, just go with it. Yeah.
Sure. Someone told him, make sure you tell T. Higgins to come to New York to be a Jet. And he responded, I will not be telling him to do that.
Oh, Gardner said that.
Gardner said that. Like, oh, that's pretty tough. That's a scene.
How about the Bengals? They didn't even get Chase done this year. They're 5% to make it. Higgins walks. And Chase, they still have that issue. They probably cost themselves a lot of money with the year he had. Best receiver in the league this year. My friends like New England for Higgins. Like, they'll just blank check T. Higgins. But I kind of like the Chargers idea for him.
Yeah, the Chargers need a little bit more help. New England has to do whatever it takes to get as many weapons as possible. And they've slow played that position for a long time. They've been bad at drafting it. They tried to trade for Diggs. They tried to sign Calvin Ridley over and over again. They've tried to get quarterback, and they just can't do it. Now with May showing a little bit, I wonder if it's a little bit easier for them to get that.
13 for me would be Cleveland, because while these other teams, not the Patriots, but these other teams will want a new quarterback next year probably, the Browns still have different limitations there, even if Watson misses the whole year. Because he's still on their books. Like, he still exists. So I don't think they'd have the same claim to, here's our new, say Darnold comes free somehow, which I don't think he will. But a move like that, unless they just sort of dump Watson, which financially after this move, they're not going to be ready to do yet. So they're still in a really bad spot. Maybe Garrett wants to leave. And, like, their defense was supposed to be good. Their offensive line was supposed to be. None of that happened. The Chubb thing is over. They're down bad. Anybody else on Cleveland?
Yeah,
you good?
Cleveland. Will they trade Myles Garrett?
I think so.
Yeah. The thing about Cleveland is, you know, the Watson contract and just existence, I almost feel like they should operate like a college team that has been placed on probation. Or stripped of scholarships. Like, fine, all right, you've lost scholarships. You have this big weight around you, but operate otherwise like you're a regular team. Draft a quarterback. Why wouldn't you just draft the way to offset all that money is to have one that's cheap. So I would draft a quarterback. I would just start moving on as if he doesn't exist, but I don't know if the owners are going to let him do that. So Cleveland here, I mean, yeah, it if
works.
You're a Browns fan, you would think it's hopeless, especially watching Baker Mayfield succeed as much as he has.
I hadn't thought about that specifically. Not to mention Tyrod Taylor
in
garbage time roles. But yeah, Mayfield for sure. That one hurts. 12.
Jacksonville
or New England?
Yeah, you probably have to go New England. They have May and so little else that they want May benched a lot. I mean, they want him kept off the field. Here's Jerod Mayo saying they're considering it because they want to keep him healthy. They had so little around him, they were afraid to put him in at the beginning of the season. And now that we've reached the end of the season, and they have so little around him, they're still afraid to play him. Ben Volin wrote today in the Boston Globe that they have to bench him. They have to not risk him because there's nothing to do. And I saw another writer for the Globe call for Mayo's firing for keeping May in late in a blowout while the other starter sat. So here he is. He's the prize piece, and they continue to just kind of, I don't know, throw him out there. So
yeah, they can't. They can't seem to figure out what they should do.
Yeah.
I was shocked he was playing in that game. I saw him get hurt early. Like, there goes this game.
Yeah.
And to think he might play this one against the Bills, why?
And Alex Van Pelt said 3 weeks ago the mission was to get him out of the season healthy. So you've got a good piece here, and to play him, you know, what for? So let's go New England just because they have nothing but May, and I think Jacksonville still has some pieces.
I will say Jacksonville, actually. I think it's close, too, but they'll both maybe have new coaches. Jacksonville, I think, will. And it's similar. It's similar, but May is promising at this point, whereas Lawrence, it's close to this is never going to work. I think it's closer to that with him. It's not that for May at all. So Jacksonville is my pick at 12.
I'm going to go New England here. I do think New England's going to keep Mayo, and with Jacksonville, I think the Bears' job has gone from like maybe one of the more attractive jobs to just kind of toxic, where Jacksonville, I don't think, has hit that point yet, so that might be the most attractive job. And if Ben Johnson does want to leave, I think that's the way you fix Lawrence, and I do still think they're somewhat attractive.
I think there's something that I wouldn't want as an owner, having my coach and quarterback almost have the exact same name, too. Like, what if Josh Allen's name were Josh McDermott, but it was like M-A-C? Can you imagine how annoying this would be every day talking about it? Like, who are we talking? Just every time you'd have to use the whole name? This is the stuff right here, New Year's Eve on WGR, oh, yeah. Reverse AFC Power Rankings. Jacksonville at 11, gotta be, right? Who else would it be? Well, 10, Colts.
Yes, easy. They maybe deserve worse.
Yeah.
They maybe deserve worse. I mean, Richardson goes out, goes back in. He can't stay healthy. Their defense gets shown up by Drew Lock in a game that the Giants inexplicably won and tried to win. You know, I know, integrity, such, blah, 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 cost themselves. But, yeah, the Colts probably deserve worse. They continue to fold at the end of seasons.
And they're not in a great place at all. You know, they are really, actually, yes, they are sort of in the same conversation with the Jaguars and maybe other teams. Quarterback, maybe, but it's iffy. Coach, I don't know. They're talking today. Albert Breer's talking about a GM change. Indianapolis, with that owner, what can they do?
Yeah, they've committed money and to good players, too. They have good players on their offensive side. They have good players on defense, a couple at least. Like, they've committed. It's almost like a lot of the roster is in win-now mode, and the coach is, I think the coach is okay, but they just can't get it going from a quarterback standpoint to get Richardson. First off, he's not consistent, and he's also not consistently in the lineup, and I'd imagine that's really tough for any coach.
Yep. Okay, 9. Houston.
Yes. Good with it.
Houston, Tennessee this week. What do you expect from Houston? Like, there's a school of thought that they're just, maybe they won't be able to, but like want to have a good day. It's been a long time since they've had a good day, and they'll be hosting next week. Who knows?
Momentum, have a good day, get the stink out of your mouth, the taste out of your mouth. Mike Tomlin said that about this week, that they want to get the taste out of their mouth from their last couple of losses when they play Cincinnati. Could Houston do that as well? Sure. I think so. They still have good pass rushers. Houston's got pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, a number of their pieces are missing, Tank Dell. I mean, that season, you know, people around here want to take a lot of shots at Diggs, and I understand why, but when he went down, their offense really started to, well, suffer.
Right.
And Nico Collins missed time, and Tank Dell, like that three-headed monster at receiver at the start of the season, it looked okay, and then it never really came back again. Once Nico Collins went out with a hamstring injury against the Bills, the three of them never saw the field together again.
Happy to win that Shopes and Dreams with 5 points for Mixon. sorry, I went right back to the wound on that one. 8, Miami?
Yes.
7. Bengals?
I want...
Do you like one of the playoff teams less? One of the other playoff teams less?
Sure. I want...
The Bengals are favored in Pittsburgh on Saturday night.
Good. Bengals have more to play for, so that's a part of this. I want to consider Pittsburgh here for a couple reasons. They have built into them, once you get to the playoffs, it's a different animal. And they've lost three straight games to playoff teams, right, by double digits. And it's in part because Russell Wilson is a sack machine. He takes sacks. He and Justin Fields are the two worst at it in the sport and have been for a while. And I feel like that's such a fatal flaw to have this time of year. Wilson does not really extend plays. He walks into sacks. Like, I might put Pittsburgh below the Chargers and the Broncos, and certainly below Cincinnati. Like, who would you rather play if you're a Bills fan? I know they've got some pieces on defense that could be scary, but Pickens is important to them, and he maybe doesn't try. And, you know, like, I want to say Pittsburgh.
You and I have always been simpatico on Mike Tomlin. Let's just, with the whole thing about how they never have a losing season, and he's won a Super Bowl, there is just never not a Pittsburgh Steelers season, though, with this sort of controversy going on. Defensive side of the ball, too, but Pickens, they have lost their last three games by a combined 90-40 against three of the five best teams in the league, probably, Philly, Baltimore, and Kansas City. Pittsburgh, I'm fine with it. It's not that they have nothing to play for.
Right.
I think, I said yesterday to Sal, I think the Bills' best chance at a Super Bowl is if Pittsburgh draws Baltimore 3-6, which means Pittsburgh loses and the Chargers win this week. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's just not, if I'm the Ravens, who I want to see ever. It's Pittsburgh. I'll play anybody else.
Yeah, I did just say all the, those mean things about Pittsburgh, but the game they just played, there was a lot of fumble luck involved in that game. The ball hit the ground three times. Baltimore got it all three of those times.
Yep.
So that game could be closer.
Six, Cincinnati. Or one of the AFC West teams.
Yeah.
You're gonna tell me you'd rather play Denver than Cincinnati. I would say the same thing.
Right. I mean, I don't want to be I don't want to sell Bengals fear, but it's about what you can do, and can you be great at one thing? I think Denver and the Chargers are obviously much more balanced than Cincinnati, but I'm not one to sit here and tell you balance is what matters. It's can you do something that others can't stop? And the Bengals maybe can do that. So give me Denver, sure.
All right.
Denver.
Nick Costos tweeted about a half an hour ago, what's the line if it's Cincinnati at Buffalo? And I said, Bills minus four. And then a few minutes later, he retweeted that. A few minutes later, he said every response he got was between four and six.
Okay.
I don't know what he's thinking. He wanted to work with that. I know he's not a fan of the Bills as their like chances of winning a championship, BetQL, Nick Costos, but I don't know.
Pull up now Ben Baldwin's market-derived tiers. You know, basically you can do the math on what a spread would be on a neutral field between the opponents, so I'll work that. He has it at four. Yeah, 4 points.
There it is.
Well, the Bills would be home, so that's 5.5. Ben Baldwin has 5.
Okay.
If that's the matchup.
Okay. Of course, the Bengals have won a playoff game here for sort of the feel of it. Let's rip through the rest. Five. Got the Chargers here or the Bengals?
Denver.
We just used Denver.
Oh, sorry.
I put them at six.
Sorry. The Chargers, Broncos, I'm confusing there.
Yeah.
Give me Chargers.
I'm on the Bengals.
No, I'm on the Bengals.
Okay.
Four, L.A. Not to load the game here,
sure,
but
sure.
Three.
Herbert's looking better. Herbert does more than he ever did. He runs more than he ever did. He can play. I mean, yeah, fine. Herbert four. Sure. Chargers.
For me, the Bills are at three. If they get the Ravens at home, which they would in a 2-3, that's a huge edge. But I think the Ravens look more dangerous by a little bit. And I would not put Kansas City here because I think they're looking better. And the advantage they have here with the bye is massive.
I would put Baltimore here.
I'll go Baltimore. I think they're two up and down for me.
Okay. Two?
Bills.
Bills, one Chiefs. Back on the bottom. Jared, what are you doing tonight?
Having a few friends over. So, you know, we're cleaning the house and the furious nature of, you know, putting things away. While kids then take things out and make a mess while you're trying to clean. So, but I don't know, asleep by 10:30 probably. We're going to do, I don't know why I didn't do this earlier as an adult. We're going to do one of those fake ball drops at maybe 7 o'clock for the kids. And I feel like I should have been doing that my entire life.
I like that.
Just, you know, celebrate London's New Year's and then go to bed.
London's, or you can find an old one on YouTube. It'll look very much the same.
Exactly.
I will not see you then at our wives' workplace.
No, not tonight, no.
Very good. Happy New Year, Jared. Thank you.
Happy New Year. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Reverse power rankings on WGR, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit empireelectricians.com. Sal next. The latest with the Bills and some playoff stuff. Brad Ryder at 4, our former colleague. Brad sent me a great text the other day that I've been thinking about a lot, and I was flattered by it. It's Bills related. We will talk about it and more with Brad, who is off to UB and the Bahamas Bowl later in the week. I think he said he was leaving tomorrow. And then Ross Tucker today as well. Happy New Year. Mike Schoep here, WGR.